Mr. Ashman.
Okay, Mr. President, this is the time and place, as you indicated, for a public hearing. And there's two of them, as you indicated. The first one is Route 54, Williamsville Phase 2 expansion of the Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District, the Fenwick Island area. The same rules and procedures will apply to both hearings. We will announce each separately. First, Mr. Ashman will give a short synopsis of what is proposed for the public hearing and what the county proposes to do. After he makes his presentation, the council will have an opportunity to ask him questions. Subsequent to that, members of the public may speak on this. If you desire to speak, you'll be required to come to the front, give us your name and address, sign your name and address at the sheet at the podium, and then you make your comment. After all the comments are taken, the public hearing will be closed and council may act on it. Mr. Ashman.
Thank you. This is an expansion of the Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District, Fenwick Island area. Includes parcels along Route 54, Lighthouse Road, primarily from West Line Road to Dickerson Road, as shown on the map on the screens. The engineering department has received requests from three property owners interested in having the county extend the district boundary. One of the on-site systems is failing, requiring frequent pumping. There is a limited extension time we complete for the existing project on 54. System connection charges would be rolled into the financing for all existing residential customers. The expansion was posted on June 19th and advertised. We received call from property owner Nolan Graves showing his support for the expansion, but he was unable to be here this morning. His property is in this boundary. We also received a call from property owner / original petitioner for our Route 54 project, Anita Adkins. She is supportive of the expansion as it also picks up a couple of the original petitions that she had received, but she is just concerned that it would delay the initial project.
Okay. Any questions from council? If not, is there any member of the public that would like to speak in regards to this matter, the Route 54 Williamsville Phase 2 expansion? Sir?
Come on down, sir.
Yes, I'm Carol Brazier. I own Brazier Pest Control. I'm the exception, probably. I own three pieces of property. This is my farm. This is my office. And this is a new office complex here for my trucks. I also have a rental house here. In my original property on Dickerson Road, I started a business in 1971 with my wife, myself, and maybe one other customer, other person. Since then, I have grown to plus 50 employees. So I have at least 50 people visiting my office daily. 17 of those are secretaries in my office itself. Originally, it was set up for a family of four. So I'm pumping every 2 weeks. Not complaining. I mean, I could probably move to some other district, but I don't want to do that. I'm all set. I cannot put a septic system on my property. I've already had it engineered because they came down to increase the size of Lighthouse Road. It took an additional 10 or 15 foot, meaning I can't get around my property to build an additional septic system. This is for my office. My house was built, I think, 1923. I have changed it from a cesspool type to the more modern system, but I'm still, it's just my wife and myself, and I'm hanging on with dear life with trying to put a new system in. So, you know, I am the exception, probably. I definitely need it. Whatever it takes, I'm all for it.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak in regards to this matter? Anyone else here like to speak? Mr. President, seeing none, we can close the public hearing on this matter. And if Mr. Ashman has a motion.
We'll close public hearing, close public comment, and ask Mr. Ashman for a motion.
I have a resolution. This is a resolution to extend the boundary of the Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District, Fenwick Island area, to include all those certain lots, pieces, or parcels of land situated on the north and south side of State Route 54, Lighthouse Road, primarily from Williamsville Road to Dickerson Road, and being in the Baltimore 100, Sussex County, Delaware.
Pleasure of council.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Cole.
Second.
Second, Mr. Arlett. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlett?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next, sir.
This is a we requested permission to prepare and post notices on May 23rd for the expansion of the Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District Angola Neck area. The project was known as Middle Creek Preserve. Expansion was requested by Solutions IPM LLC for their client BDRP LLC. It's for parcels 234-11-51 and 234-12-14. The project consists of six parcels. The remaining four parcels are already in the sewer district. This just pulls in the two pieces you see on the left and the right in yellow. The project is proposing 314 single-family lots and a pool house. Project will be responsible for system connection charges in place at the time of connection. The parcels were posted on May 30th and then again on June 29th due to a scheduling conflict with the council's agenda for the previously scheduled public hearing. We have received no correspondence in support or opposition to date.
Okay. Are there any questions from council? If not, is there anyone here today that would like to speak in reference to this matter? Is there anyone here
there's
today?
Come on.
Answer. We see you.
Good morning. My name is Richard Reinick. I live at 22489 Ridge Circle in the Bay Ridge Woods development. Our property is adjacent to this proposed development. And I came here to learn if the county is paying for laying the necessary pipes under the Middle Creek Preserve roads or paying for any associated infrastructure such as pumping stations, or has the developer agreed to pay those costs up front? I'd like to know that. And also, I'd like to know, has Middle Creek Preserve developer filed plans with the Soil Conservation District for this work? And where can we go to look at these plans?
Okay, so, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Can we get an answer for him?
Can we get an answer to anyone else?
Is there anyone else that would like to speak? Seeing none, Mr. President, did you want to see if
Mr. Ashman, if you'd come forward and answer the gentleman's questions, if you could.
I can answer the question about the sewer and the pumping stations. They will be the responsibility of the developer. They will install any infrastructure required to serve the parcel to a connection point in Angola Road. Soil Conservation District. Question. I'm looking at Janelle to see if she might know something. We weren't expecting that.
Okay. Good morning. So before final plan approval, they'll have to go to the Sussex Conservation District to get approval. So if there's been anything filed with them, it would be in their office.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So to clarify, this is today's decision would be contingent on their approval.
Yeah, it would be, you would be annexing it into our sewer district, which really just gives them the ability to gain sewer service. But approval of the project would still be through that.
It still go through planning and zoning for site approval and everything.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. At this point, we can close the public hearing, Mr. President.
We'll close public hearing, close public comment. Mr. Ashman, you have a
resolution.
Resolution
to extend the boundary of the Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District, Angola Neck area, to include two properties situated on the north side of Angola Road, parcels 234-11-51 23412-14. They are located in the Indian River Hundred, Sussex County, Delaware, and recorded in the Office of the Recorder of Deeds in and for Sussex County, Delaware.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Arlett, second. Mr. Wilson. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlett?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
We'll move now to our scheduled 1025 public hearing.
Okay. Mr. President, as you indicated, there's a public hearing scheduled at 1025, which is a resolution approving agreement to provide firefighting services and approving issuance of certain bonds or notes by the Millsboro Fire Company. Ms. Jennings will be giving a short report to council. After that, you have an opportunity to ask questions, and then the public may comment. Ms. Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. Moore. Millsboro Fire Company would like to issue up to $500,000 in tax-exempt bonds or notes to purchase a rescue truck. In order to obtain tax-exempt financing, the debt must be approved by the applicable governmental unit with which the fire company has entered into an agreement to provide firefighting services. This agreement is entered through an adopted resolution after the public hearing. These bonds shall be an obligation of the fire company and shall never be a debt of the county. The county shall not be liable for any payment on the debt incurred by Millsboro Fire Company. The county's approval of the issuance of bonds or notes by Millsboro Fire Company will have no fiscal impact on the county. And I see that Chief Matt Warrington and Trustee Richard Ward are here if you have any questions or would like for them to come up and speak.
Okay. Is there anyone that would like to speak in this regard today? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in this regard? Seeing none, Mr. President, we can close the public hearing in this matter.
We'll close the public hearing, close the public comment. I ask you to read, or Mrs. Dankover, read the short title.
Be it resolved that the Sussex County Council approves the agreement to providing firefighting services and approving issuance of certain bonds or notes by the Millsboro Fire Company.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Arlett.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions? Take the vote, Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
I have a yes. Motion carried.
Thank you.
We're done, guys. Thank you. Now, 10:30 public hearing.
Okay, thank you, Mr. President. Now it's time and place for public hearing on an ordinance to amend the Code of Sussex County. And I'm not going to read all the chapters this time, but it deals with the zoning ordinance and the commercial and business zoning. Ms. Janelle Cornwell will give a report to council and describe the proposed ordinance. Ms. Cornwell.
Thank you. Good morning. Several months ago, the staff came before the council to discuss a proposed expansion of the commercial zoning districts. What this is there's been concern about the lack of predictability. There's only very few commercial districts, a few too many permitted uses in those districts, and a one-size-fits-all approach. So as part of this ordinance, it is there are currently four commercial zoning districts, the UB, the B1, the C1, which is already a closed zone, and the CR1. The intent is to close those existing four commercial districts. Again, if anything is zoned that way, that stays that way. This ordinance does not change any zoning. So if you have C1 and CR1 or B1, it stays. It's just if this ordinance passes, you would not be able to rezone to those districts. And we are proposing seven new districts, the B2, the B3, a C2, a C3, a C4, a C5, and the I1. So the purpose of the B2, it's similar to the neighborhood business that the B1 that currently exists. It recognizes similar uses, but it also has some bulk standards. So the minimum lot size would be 5,000 square feet. The maximum lot size would be three acres, and the maximum floor area, so the maximum size of the building would be 35,000 square feet. For the B3, this is really a business research and office park district. We recognized we didn't have one before. It was determined that, you know, it should be an idea considered. So in this one, and it would also allow, you know, accessory uses to an office park. So maybe like a restaurant or a dry cleaning if you're going to have those businesses there. No minimum lot sizes, so, and no maximum floor area for the business park. The C2 is a medium commercial, so wide variety of retail, professional offices and businesses. Minimum lot size is 15,000 square feet, and the maximum lot size is that it's 75,000 square feet is the maximum size. So similar to the B1 with the maximum lot size, but this also does not allow for outdoor storage. For the C3, it's our heavy commercial, larger scale auto-oriented retail business, service businesses typically would be located along major arterials, primary arterials. Minimum lot size is an acre. With a maximum lot size of 150,000 square feet. The C4 is, I would like to refer to it as similar to the RPC. It's a change of zone application, but it's also coming through with your site plan at the same time. So typically if you see a residential plan community in RPC, it's a change of zone with the site plan at the same time. This would be the similar process, but for commercial purposes. So you'd need to have at least 3 acres, and that is the requirement for anything for bulk standards. The C5 is a service limited manufacturing district. So think about those uses that, you know, you might have a warehousing, but you also have retail, or you might have a bakery, but you also have retail. It's that hybrid. It's not quite commercial. It's not quite industrial. So this is where these uses would be recognized. Minimum lot size, 15,000 square feet, and a maximum floor area of 50,000.
Now, why didn't you use acres, minimum acres, or anything on that particular one? We've been using minimum lot sizes as acreage.
There were a few that were square feet and a few that were acreage. Because you could do something small that you might be able to do.
I just was trying to keep things all on the same type of measurement.
They all have a little bit different because you could do something that's small as long as it had the retail component. And then the final one is the institutional, the I-1. This would allow for schools, public buildings, hospitals, anything kind of in an institutional use. A lot of those uses now go through a conditional use. This would be a zone that would permit them by right. And again, no minimum bulk standards. So the Planning Commission held a public hearing on June 22nd. At that time, this similar presentation was presented to them. They did have some public comments, and they also had some staff recommendations, and they have not made a decision as of today.
All right. I got a question on this. Right where we're looking at that one, where it says quasi-public, it's pretty, we got us in trouble once before with something about grocery stores were considered public or something, and we were looking at what was, I forget what it was. Were you here ever?
No, it was
okay,
not.
Okay, anyway.
It had to do with the height.
What was that? Yeah, right, height. So we got in a kind of a pickle with defining public and quasi-public. I see a problem with that word. What the heck's it mean?
Okay.
So, I mean, I just would challenge you on that one. And other question would be, say somebody wanted to do a business, when there was a district for offices, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say they wanted to have a cafe, you know, kind of a mixed use, you know, two of them combined. Is there a way to take, you know, a structure and have a professional uses and maybe a coffee shop?
In the B3, that business research district, it would recognize some similar uses that would be ancillary accessory uses to that. So you could do a restaurant or dry cleaners in addition to that use. And most of the districts do recognize mixed use, typically residential and retail.
Okay, but I'm just saying sometimes two different, you know, a use from this category and a use from that category. Is there a mechanism so that somebody could come in and do that? In other words, I'm looking for the flexibility to be, you know, as we go into the future, so that people can be creative, I guess, with our commercial districts. And I understand a business downstairs and maybe living upstairs. A lot of places do that, but maybe an upstairs yoga studio with a downstairs cafe.
I think that's something we can definitely look into. But again, if it's one building and they're both commercial and uses that are permitted in that district, that would be a permitted use by that building in that for that property.
So one acre parcel can have two zoning categories? What did you just say?
It could have one zoning category, and right. If both of those uses are within that same category.
If they're both in that same category. No, I'm talking about two different categories on one spot. Do we have the flexibility to do that? That's what I think it'd be nice to be able to do that.
There would be one zoning district for that particular lot.
Right.
So the importance of that is that you would apply for, if you wanted to have the most flexibility, you would apply for the zoning district that allows you the most flexibility. Whereas if you wanted to do like the B2 or B3, you would apply for that. And it does allow a wide range of ancillary uses. So as long as you fit squarely as your permitted use within the B2 or B3, you can have supporting businesses as accessory uses, which would be the
from a different category.
Well, they're listed as accessory uses. They're permitted uses in a different category. They're listed as accessory in that. So I think that gets to your point.
Okay. Because as we go, again, out and people get real creative, we have no idea what somebody might want to combine, you know, this and that. And it's something that makes sense. But I'd hate to have to go through a whole other step is what I'm trying to say. Like maybe a board of adjustment, maybe, or a variance to get a variance to be able to do the two uses. Somehow there should be something in here that actually says if you want to do, you know, a use from two different districts, here's a process. Here's a way to do it. You follow me kind of what I'm...
And there is a clause in the ordinance that allows if there is a determination that needs to be made, there's a body that can make that determination whether or not that use would fit into that zoning classification. It's similar to there's one now that allows the Planning Commission to look and determine if there's a use that is similar to the other uses that would be then could be considered a permitted use in that zoning classification.
Okay, I'm just hoping that this new ordinance will have some kind of built-in flexibility so that we can be creative in our commercial districts in Sussex County. I know in the resort area we see something new every year.
And I think
somebody takes a trip to California and comes back with an idea.
And I think this also kind of recognizes that we've updated some of the uses, and we've had some outdated uses in the code. And we also, you know, we'd have some very specific uses here. Just kind of, if it's a retail use, it would fall into the retail category or a personal service category. It wouldn't be a specific, say, a bookstore or a video rental store, which there are some of those in the current code. So this also updates some of those uses. To your concern is, I think retail, if it's a retail and a personal service, and those could be combined.
Okay.
Any other questions from council?
I think what George is getting at is that if we don't have that flexibility, then why wouldn't I just apply for the one zoning that gives me all the flexibility? Right, so that down the road I can, you know, I can move as the market demands. What centers them on one versus the one with the greatest flexibility?
I think that depends on what you're looking to do, and it depends on where you're looking to go. Will then determine what use you're looking, what zoning classification you're looking for, and it also will give you a little bit more predictability for commission and council's sake, that when they know that's what they want to do, that it would be a little bit more easier to come before the commission and council going, okay, I'm looking to do this use. This is the category that clearly fits that use. Because that has been some of the concern in the past is there's been no predictability. There's a very long, long list of permitted uses. This narrows some of those lists and then gives a little bit more predictability for both the applicant and the council.
The other thing is, too, is, you know, a location where B2 or B3 would make sense because it's not on a large commercial corridor is the scale exactly. You know, so you could get the primary uses in B2 or B3 and the accessory uses, which is the flexibility that Mr. Cole's talking about, there. But, you know, from a land use point of view, you wouldn't come in with the most wide open zoning district because that wouldn't make sense potentially in that given location because of scale or surroundings or roadways or whatever.
But we don't have the ability to say, you're applying for this, but really you should apply for this.
Not up front, but in the end, you have the ability to make the determination whether whatever they apply for is appropriate.
Right.
So.
Couple things, Mr. President, if I may. Couple notes. I guess perhaps I'll use the analogy of I actually go to a local car wash over in the Rehoboth area, and of course they have various options, right? You know, and they're different pricing. Cheaper, you get a little less services, a little bit more expensive, a little bit more. So I guess bottom line, if I get the quote-unquote the most expensive slash quote-unquote the best, I get all the other stuff included in that summary. So perhaps that's kind of what we're talking about here. Is there an opportunity to do a C1, C2, C3, C4, C5? And if you do C5, you get 1 through 4 as an example. I'm just using that as an example to simplify. So that's something to consider. Number two is also in my notes here, is there going to be a difference of a cost as associates with the permit or even just the process? Simpler, smaller, is it less expensive, more involved? Industrial, is it more expensive? That's just a question, and I don't know the answer.
The way it's set up is no, because they're all zoning applications, which are all treated the same currently.
Okay. And then how much, as you've heard me say this before, how much of an input have we received from the private sector regarding this very ordinance? Business owners?
Yeah, no. So we drafted it, and of course it's been presented by Kyle's group to council and also P&Z. We had a workshop, I don't know, about two or three months ago with real estate folks, developers, public, you know, everybody that kind of knows how this would work. And there were questions, you know, constructive ones and comments and some suggestions that were incorporated into it. Some of the examples being the minimum, maximum sizes of things. But no, there's been, some input along the way from stakeholders.
Have we officially reached out to the chambers, the various chambers in this county?
We have not reached out to the chambers. We did meet last week with the realtors, a lot of the commercial realtors, and had a meeting with, gave them a presentation, answered all of their questions. They had just some general questions. I think some of the big questions were, am I going to lose my current zoning? And the answer was no. And they saw that it was a little bit more predictability for them and their clients.
I would encourage / suggest, if it is not too late in the process, for us to, and I don't know if we can or cannot, but it would make sense for me to seek the input of the chambers officially and seek their input on this. To me, that would make total sense. But so the other two questions I have, then I'll be finished, Mr. President, and that is, within each of these zones, is it permissible at some point in time to have various and different setbacks, perhaps height restrictions, parking lot requirements? Are we able to customize, if you would, some of these as we move forward? Because I have personally heard from some of the business owners, but some of their thoughts and their concerns, not about this ordinance, but just in general about business and how we can simplify and try to do things better in the county.
Well, setbacks are included as part of this. I think parking and some of those others are in
different sections. Can we have varying setbacks within each of those?
I think there are some varying setbacks in the districts. They recognize different uses. But some of those parking items falls into a different section of code that is not part of this ordinance. So that is something we could look at in the future. We just could not look at it with this one. And that is something we heard from the public is maybe we could look at that. Okay. As part of the Planning Commission comments.
I would say, though, that this sets up the framework to do that better than what we have now, because now we have B1 and C1 or CR1, and those are big categories. I think if we go forward with this and we break it into those smaller districts, we can fine-tune it more because the districts are more specified.
Right.
So I think that gives us a method to do it a lot easier than
okay. Do we know when the P&Z is planning on responding or addressing this?
It is going to be on for the July 27th agenda.
Okay.
And there will be, I would suspect, given the comments of the Planning and Zoning Commission, there's going to be some constructive recommendations on this, including clarifying some of the tables. So it would be my suggestion that you all leave the record open for some comment after that. And that would give, like, for example, the chambers, if they want to, an opportunity to speak on that, too. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Very good.
Mr. Cole?
Sunsetting. I know we do sunsetting and other things as we go forward. I think part of our problem in is that we zoned some property like along Coastal Highway through the beach areas and down 113 stuff back in the 70s, and it sat there forever, and not, and it just still sitting there. And my concern is if we should not be approaching a sunsetting on a change of zones in these commercial districts, as because if something doesn't change in 10 years or whatever the years you come up with, the dynamics have changed and stuff, and the impacts would be totally different. So my concern is, and question would be, is it possible, and Everett, maybe you can chime in with Vince, and but sunsetting in this new scheme of things.
Well, there's two parts to that, and because that's come up before. It came mm-hmm. up here, and also planning and zoning. So on the planned commercial development portion of this, there's actually a site plan that's incorporated into that. So one of the things that the commission looked at was whether or not we could sunset that site plan like we do other subdivisions. That's one aspect of it. The issue with sunsetting or rezoning is that we have to follow what's in Title IX, and that sets out how you rezone a property. And that triggers public hearings and due process. So there may be a way. I don't think that the county has the ability to unilaterally or automatically rezone or unzone somebody's property. There may be a way to do it that, in 10 years, if it's not developed, the county will, because the county council does have the ability to require public hearings on zonings, to hold another public hearing to review whether the current zoning is appropriate. That'd have to be noticed in all the due process and everything else. But I know that's an issue, and we'll look at mm-hmm. that.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay.
Anything else? Mr. Burton? Just one other question. On your RPC zoning, and kind of following Rob's thing, are we talking about placing conditions, the ability to place conditions on different commercial zonings?
You'd be able to place conditions on that site plan that is associated with that rezoning application.
With that one that we have?
With the C4
yes,
only.
Just with the C4.
That is the planned commercial district.
Okay, so you'd be putting the conditions on the RPC, not necessarily the zoning.
Correct.
Right, that's right, and that's what we have to look at on that.
So if it goes forward in the current form presented, then the conditions would be in effect on that plan, but if it expired, it would revert back to an unconditional commercial zoning at that C4 zoning?
I don't know that it would, because C4 only allows those conditions. So the thing is, if somebody rezoned to C4 and there was a site plan review and conditions were put on it, that's what you get, which is different from a residential RPC, because that's an overlay. You still always have the MR or the GR underneath. Here you don't have anything underneath, you just have C4. So kind of back to Mr. Cole's comment, that's what we need to...
Right. So in theory, you're thinking that if it didn't follow, if the conditions didn't follow, then the zoning didn't follow.
Or it would just stay C4 with those conditions, and that would be the only
right.
thing
so
that could
So the next
happen.
Guy would have to honor those
yes.
conditions.
Yes, that's right. Right.
Okay.
Or come back in for a public hearing to change something.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
If there are no other questions from council at this point, we can open this matter up to the public. Mr. Kramer.
My name is Dan Kramer, 8041 Scott Store Road. Now, what I want to know is this supplement part of this ordinance?
The ordinance is what was published here.
I understand that. But here's a supplement. and I don't know whether you got a copy of it or not, but if it is any part of it, then I want to know quite a bit of stuff. Because right here on the front page, it says C1 and CR1 are totally closed and will remain that way, and nothing changes, right? Not according to this. That's why I want to make sure that this is not part of it. Because it implies right here, not implies, it says all during through this piece of garbage, what is permitted and what's not permitted. C1 permits 12 units an acre. It's a given. Not according to this. You're not allowed to have duplexes. You're not allowed to have multi-family dwellings. Wait a minute. Now, I need some answers. Is this part of it?
Ms. Cornwell or Mr. Robertson, please come forward and answer the question.
Now, the table's part of it, but that's also one of the issues that P&Z is going to look at. There needs to be some adjustments on that in terms of some of those items that are listed as permitted. As we talked about, we go through this, there's got to be some corrections that are made that P&Z picked up at its public hearing.
So, but okay. why was it even put in here when C1 should have never been changed anything?
Yeah.
And look at there. I mean, look, I marked that one for make sure. And then home-based business is not allowed. Multifamily, but it's already a permitted use.
Yeah.
It's a given.
Yeah. Well, the reason why it was put in there is because we wanted to have at the end one table that's incorporated in our zoning code that lists everything. So you weren't having to flip back and forth, all right, what's C1, what's CR1, what's...
But these issues are being addressed in planning and zoning. Has some questions. Yes. And okay. Thank you.
So they are going to be removed and corrected.
Corrected, yes.
Because they've not made a decision yet, correct?
That's correct. They deferred it.
Now, the next question I have.
You can have a seat. Thank you.
Next question. If you have a zoning change, and you've been farming your land, now all of a sudden, you're not allowed to farm it no longer? According to this. V1, V2, V3, everything not permitted to farm it. Well, if a guy gets a zoning change, he's not going to build his building the next day, so he got wide open land, and he still wants to keep on farming. But that's not going to be permitted. Somebody ought to answer some questions on that one. Then you got in here also where produce stands. I think in practically every category, you got a produce stand permitted for 6 months, particularly under 5 acres. And then it says something about having a license. Number one, means I happen to be a produce grower, I am not required to have a license, period, unless I buy and sell. Then I have to have a license. I can grow my own produce. I don't care if I've only got 2 acres. I can grow produce there and sell all I want. And nobody can tell me otherwise. I can go over and rent a farm, bring it back over here and sell it. Because it's my produce. As long as I don't buy and sell. Now if I buy, then I got to come in here and get a zoning change. But to come in here and get a license, ain't no way in this world. Now, I think about the last question I have.
True.
Huh?
I said that's true.
Last question I have. Who was the working group to put this thing together? And I want names. I want every name on all the meetings that they've held. Every one of them. I am not going through FOIA to get it. You guys are going to furnish that to me without a problem. Because I got news for you. All these meetings were never posted. And they had public meetings with private organizations, and you want to complain about me filing FOIA complaints? By dadgummit, you're liable to get another one. and it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you, but it didn't put it, I didn't cause it.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak in regards to this matter? Anyone else? Seeing none, Mr. President, we can close the public hearing on this matter, and I believe it was suggested earlier, possibly leaving the record open.
For sure.
We probably need to make a motion to defer and leave the public record open until 15 days after P&Z makes their recommendations.
Mr. President, before we do that, can I ask one quick question, sir?
Certainly.
And that is the Mr. Kramer had just made mention of a supplement. Do we have it? Is that in our packet? I don't know what he has. So,
yeah, it was sent to us.
Well, I mean, I'm looking at it now, but I don't know what he has. So, is it same thing that we have in our?
It was a table at the end. Mm-hmm. It was kind of in blue.
Okay.
That would be that.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to reassure that I have whatever he has. That's all. Thank you.
Okay. I hope you don't.
Anyone care to make a motion to defer and leave the public?
Move a motion to defer.
Open for 15 days after P&Z makes a recommendation.
So moved.
Yes.
For public comment?
Yes.
Motion, Mr. Arlett. Second, Mr. Cole. Questions on a motion? Take a vote, Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
I'll be in motion carried. All right, let's see. I think we'll go back now to public comments. Bob Tanney.